Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, Shad and I are introducing a new company to the show called New Age Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NAM and on the OTCQB under the symbol NMTLF. We are chatting with the chairman and CEO, Harry Barr. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, New Age Metals is an exploration company focused on the discovery and exploration of green metals projects in North America. The company has two divisions, a platinum group metals division and a lithium rare earth division. Now, Harry, I want to focus on the company's projects here. We'll work through where these projects stand and some of the work that's planned, as well as take care of some of the other company fundamentals that I think investors should know. Let's start off with the River Valley property. It's a PGM property. This project is a little bit more advanced. I understand you are working through a pre-feasibility study right now. A PEA was completed back in 2019. Give our listeners a little bit more of an update in terms of just how much work has been done at River Valley here and what some of the plans are moving forward, please.
Will do. Thank you for having us on. River Valley is a primarily a palladium project, but it does have platinum, it has copper, it has gold, nickel, and cobalt, and we're also working on rhodium. We've always known there's rhodium. We just didn't do enough assaying to include it as a payable metal, so we have a program ongoing right now where we've just done our second round of rhodium assay, so we're going back to our existing core and basically taking samples from there and sending them into the lab, and again, about two more programs, probably closer to 1,000 new assays, will get us rhodium as a payable metal in the project. But it is a multi-million ounce district scale asset. We own 100% of it. We're in a great area, very close to Sudbury, about 100 road kilometers to the site. Sudbury is important because it has two big companies there who produce nickel and copper and other metals, but they also produce PGMs as a byproduct, so we'd be able to send our concentrates once we get to mining right to Sudbury and get our metals there less than 100 kilometers or about 60 road miles away. We've spent about $40 million on the project over the last few years. As you said, we did a PEA in 2019, which is positive. It was done at only $1,200 palladium, as most of your listeners probably know. Palladium is currently trading in the $2,600 to $2,700 US range, so it's a fantastic price. And in terms of working in Sudbury, everything a junior mining company needs is in the city, from geological engineering companies, metallurgical companies, drilling companies, assay companies. It's all right there. We're road accessible, 16 kilometers to most of our project. About 70% of it is in a mining lease. It's renewable every 21 years. And we've just signed up with a group of engineering companies to start a pre-feasibility study here this spring.
Well, one other thing I noticed was that in your recent press release on June 10th, you've also started looking for rhodium, and you know you're working on rhodium assays at the project. Could you maybe speak to our listeners a little bit about what you're finding there and what the significance of that is for investors?
Yeah, our goal is to try to get rhodium to be at least a 5% payable metal. So, you know, the highest rhodium we've got to date in terms of sampling is just under a gram. Probably averages more like a quarter gram. But as most listeners know, rhodium went as high as, well, over $30,000 an ounce this year. I haven't looked in the last day or two, but it was over 20-some thousand a few days back. So it doesn't take a whole lot of it to add up to a payable metal. We had in our last calculation in terms of resource calculation about 48,000 ounces in all categories of rhodium. And we're basically trying to go back, and luckily we don't have to re-drill everything. We just go back to our core bank and cut some of the existing core from the areas and re-assay that. So we've done 300 assays to date and got the results earlier this year. And just a week or so ago, we sent in another 250 and should have results in September. The labs and metallurgical guys are backed up pretty good here right now, so we're not getting turnover very quickly. But about every two or three months, we'll do another 250 to 300 assays, and we're shooting towards about 1,000 or more to get to the point where we hope we can get rhodium as a payable metal of about 5% of our resource.
So, Harry, is the work plans moving forward, at least in the near term for River Valley, is it to just continue to move the project through the de-risking and even towards some sort of development stage because you already have that PEA out? Or is there still some exploration that's going to be done here, also encapsulating that whole rhodium component?
Yes. I mean, the main goal this year is about a 2.75 million Canadian program that encompasses four engineering companies and an environmental company, and that will all finalize in a report called the preliminary economic. Well, we've done the preliminary economic assessment, but the pre-feasibility study, and that should be done, and the report should be out sometime in the early part of the second quarter of next year. So that's our main focus. But on the exploration upside, over the 16 kilometers, we've only drilled out about 60% of it along the contact, and it's where the series of open pits would be for the mining as we go forward. But about 40% of that is undrilled. Then in 2017 and 18, we did a round of more modern-day geophysics. We've done geophysics, but they were probably 17, 18 years old on the property. That identified about 9 new targets in the northern portion of the property. And why that's important up there is that's where we would be starting our first couple open pits. And these anomalies are basically to the east and west and adjoining, by the look of most of them, are existing open pit areas that we would start mining on. So we drilled one of them called the Pine Zone, and we actually hit and have a couple million tons there, and there's more to be drilled. But there's 8 other targets that we'll be starting to drill later on this year. So we've got about a 5,000-meter program plan that would start in the fall. Over and above that, we're drilling 4 metallurgical holes to come up with about 4 tons of new material for a good-sized met test that will, 2 of the holes are now drilled, and we'll be working on the other 2 over the next couple of weeks. And that material will be sent to a group called SGS, and they'll do a fairly large-scale metallurgical program. Again, we've done a bunch of met work, but this would add to what we need to do to complete the pre-feasibility study. Then we'll also be doing some geotechnical drilling, so going to the areas where the open pits would be and just, you know, looking at the strength of rock and all the geotechnical aspects that need to be added to the report. So there'll be basically 3 rounds of drilling, but about 5,000 meters planned later this year that will be more exploratory. And again, it'll be in the northern portion of the property. If anyone gets a chance to go to our website, you'll see it on the slide deck where we've identified the targets that we'd like to drill. And again, they're right in and around the existing open pit areas that we already have identified.
Well, Harry, before we move on to the lithium division of the company, I know that you have another secondary project in the PGM space that we can at least highlight real quick before we move to that area, and that's the Genesis project. And you have that the JV potential there with a larger player. So could you walk us briefly through the Genesis project, since that still ties into the PGM focus for the company?
Yes, now we'll move to Alaska. We're off a main paved road called the Richardson Highway. It's about a 3-kilometer trail into our 10,000 acres of state claims that we have. It's a project we had earlier and brought in a partner, Stillwater, at the time. They're now Sibanye-Stillwater, but the group we dealt with basically were ready to drill. They spent almost $500,000 on the property, and the management directors got changed, and we got the property back. We kept it till about 2014 and then gave it back to the gentleman who we re-optioned it from, and now we've basically made all the payments and we own 100% of it now. And we've identified on surface so far, it's never been drilled, an area that's about 2,000 meters that has up to 2.4 grams of both platinum and palladium on surface, and upwards to a half a percent of copper and over a percent of nickel all on surface. And that's over about 4 different areas. This year, we plan to go up and do about $100,000 program, continue to do surface sampling, mapping, and basically refine some more drill targets. But as you mentioned, long-term, we'd like to bring in a partner to help us develop this. Alaska, because of COVID in the last year and again this year, has been a place that it's hard to get anyone to even visit because of the restrictions and the fact they have to basically stay in a motel for a couple of weeks before they can even visit the property. So I don't think it'll be till next year. But we will be getting news out of there. We'll be up working on the project by mid-August this year, and we should have news by end of September.
All right, Harry, let's bring in the lithium division here, focused in Manitoba. I believe 7 properties in total, 3 are drill ready. What are the plans here in Manitoba to move these lithium properties forward?
Well, we have recently finished 5 of the 7 properties where we've done a drone geophysical program. We were lucky the second year in a row we've got a nice grant, a non-refundable grant from the government of Manitoba, and we've matched their funds. And so the whole program will be somewhere in the $150,000 to $200,000 range. We have the largest, basically, landmass in this Winnipeg pegmatite field, and a lot of the property needed to be flown to try and reduce the size, and so we know where to put some boots on the ground. But getting back to our 3 main properties, the first one, Lithium 2, that we plan to drill somewhere in the 1,500 to 3,000-meter range starting in September, has just under 600,000 tons in a non-43-101 resource from the old days, non-compliant resource, but it was a good grade of just about 600,000 tons at 1.44%. And on that property, we've got, you know, assays from surface of up to 3 and 4%. Our Lithium 1 property has over 40 pegmatites, and we've got surface samples of up to 4-point-some percent there. And it's got a drill permit, too. And then we're working on the third and final drill permit on Lithium West, and we expect to get that in the next 3 or 4 months. So 3 of the properties are ready to drill. 1 we will drill for sure this fall. Over and above the geophysics we're doing, we'll put boots on the ground and try to do some surface sampling and mapping on some of the new areas that we've identified anomalies from the drone geophysics. So a program of somewhere between $500,000 and $700,000 this year.
Okay, Harry, and as far as the lithium projects, because you do have a couple, you know, you have 7 properties, there's 3 main properties. What's the larger vision for investors to take away as far as, do you see tying these all together into kind of a hub and spoke process eventually, where you could have a central processing area up there and mine the hard rock pegmatite to process it? Or how do you see it all tying together? I know it's still earlier stages and you're still drilling them out, but how do you envision that tying together?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, we'd like to get 2 or 3 of these into the, you know, 2 to 4 or 5,000 ton range, million ton range, and, you know, get enough of a resource so you could have a central mill in the area there. There is another company that was recently bought by a Chinese group that have the potential to eventually mine lithium in the area, and they have a mine, mill, and tailings, they're producing cesium and tantalum right now, but they have quite a lot of lithium too. So that's another possibility. Our goal is to bring in a partner, and we have quite a lot of interest in that stake. So I'm hoping in the next few months that we can actually land that partner before the end of the year to help us develop these projects, so that we can focus on our River Valley property and use their money at least for the first few years. So that's what we're working on, but we are fully funded. In the treasury, we have over $8 million. So we're fully funded for the next 18 months. And there's another $2.1 million or so that would come in that's in an escrow from Eric Spride, a fairly famous international investor that already owns just about 20% of the company. So we have to go to our shareholders, which we will around August 15th. And get approval for him to go over 20%, and that other $2.1 million will come into the treasury. So we've got lots of funding, and we're ready to basically work on all of our projects, and we're fully funded for all of them.
Harry, give our audience just a quick background on your background in the sector. I know some of our longer-term listeners will remember you from prior companies, but again, just remind everybody who you've worked with, some of the past successes in the sector.
Yeah, well, I spent most of my first 20 years in the industry with Freegold Ventures, which is doing quite well and is up in Alaska and has got a multi-million ounce gold deposit it's working on and a copper gold deposit. I also was the founder of Canalaska Uranium and worked many years with Peter Dazzler before he took that company over. And the former name of New Age Metals was Pacific Northwest Capital. I founded it and we renamed the company in 2017. So those are the three main companies I've been working on for most of my career. And, you know, I've made investments in quite a few others. I own up to 50 different juniors right now in terms of shares, and some of them I take a bigger position in. But I've been working in the exploration business, 43 joint ventures with major companies as a CEO, and I always say I'm working on 44 and 45 now, and over 300 deals with, you know, well-financed juniors, prospectors. So I've been in the exploration game basically since I was 24, and I'm now 66, so been at it a long time. My board are all veteran engineers and geologists, all guys that are, you know, 50 to 70 years old with a tremendous amount of experience. And my technical people in the field are also very well versed in their different metals. And so we've got a really good team and work in Alaska. I've been working up there since 1985 and work with Kurt Freeman up there, who's one of the best known geologists, consulting geologists in the state. So I'm very pleased to be working with the team I have. And I think as long as we can keep funding things, we're going to just keep moving everything along. And I've got the right people to help me do it.
Okay, a couple more. Company fundamentals here, share structure. Over 195 million shares outstanding on a fully diluted basis, 306 million shares. There are 103 million warrants outstanding. Harry, can you share with us some of the details of approximate exercise price of these warrants, please?
Yeah, average price of the warrants is around 15 to 16 cents, so it'd bring in $15 to $16 million plus if they were all taken down. And obviously, would be able to help us complete the feasibility study and be a good couple of years of working capital if that all comes down. Mr. Spride is at 20% now. We'll go to 26 as soon as we get him the shareholder vote, and that'll free up another $2.1 million to go to the Treasury. Management has about 8%. Recently, we've had in the last financing some smaller institutions come back into the company, so they're in the 12 to 15% range, and we've got a lot of shareholders, probably well over 4,000.
All right. Well, Harry, just as a quick summary then here, please just summarize the news flow that people can expect out of the company.
Well, over the next 8 to 10 months, you'll see several announcements as the pre-feasibility study progresses from the different engineering groups that we've hired. You will get news from at least 5,000 meters of exploration drilling in the northern portion of the River Valley project. We're also doing some geophysics there, so there'll be news from there. There'll be news from the metallurgical four holes that we're drilling. You'll get the assays of them, and then eventually you get the metallurgical results. There'll be news from the environmental group that are helping us do the study and the geotechnical group. And there'll be news coming from the rhodium reassaying to try and get rhodium as a payable metal for the project. The Genesis project in Alaska will have at least one or two press releases about the surface sampling and mapping we're doing there. And there'll be quite a few releases coming out of the results of the lithium division in terms of flying the five projects, putting boots on the ground in terms of following up on the anomalies that we think the geophysics will create. There'll be a drill program start in September on the Lithium 2 project, and various other news that would be coming out of our lithium division. So, you know, two or three or four press releases a month, and that'll keep going till we finally get our feasibility study done, which will be second quarter of next year, which will be a big announcement there too.
Okay, Harry, appreciate this intro. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, or shad@kereport.com. We will get those answered for you, and we can also follow up as some more news hits the market and this company moves forward with really either of these divisions. Harry, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for doing this, guys.